Luke chapter 15. Now, as you're turning, I'm going to tell you the truth. I was strongly tempted to skip this parable. Well, I normally tell you the truth. That was a rhetorical... that was a rhetorical manner of speaking. You do get a little nervous when someone's preaching and saying, now, I'm going to be honest with you. I was tempted to skip this parable because its theme and features are so much like last week's parable, the parable of the lost sheep, so similar. But here's why I didn't. Jesus purposefully in this teaching gave three parables with the same theme, finding that which is lost that is of great value. And so the reason I didn't skip it is because if Jesus felt it was important enough to originally give three parables to emphasize it, I want to emphasize what Jesus has emphasized. And so though it's very similar to last week's, I want to share it with us this morning once again. If you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, we're going to read three verses here. Luke 15, starting with verse 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? He's questioning them. He's saying, don't you know this is a reality? Don't you know this is what that woman's going to do? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Verse 10. Likewise, Jesus says, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner, just one, that repenteth. And every time one repents. Last week, we dealt with the parable lost and found the sheep. Today, we're going to talk about lost and found the coin. Thank you for that picture of that drachma there. Thank you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your goodness, your mercy. Thank you for the grace we feel in this place. Lord, I pray that Jesus would be exalted in the preaching. Jesus, come forth amongst us. May through your word you become clearer and nearer and dearer, Lord, to our hearts. Lord, if there's any here that hasn't given their life to you, Lord, may they realize you're looking for them this morning. Lord, may the rest of us be challenged to be like you and look for that which is lost. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. You may not realize it, but it's a real challenge preaching from the parables because you want to say so much that may not be there. And what I mean by that, when you approach the parables, the main point of the parable is the main point of the parable. That's what you're supposed to be getting. And the main point of these parables is that Jesus was on a mission. And Jesus was passionate to save just one that is lost, just one, regardless of how many have already been found. He's still as passionate to find the just one that is lost. And that's the main point of this parable. But I cannot help that Jesus, in making the choice of his parables, he chose subjects and subject matters and stories that illustrated other spiritual truths. And the thing that stands out to me in this parable about the lost coin is the fact that the woman used light. She used light to find what was lost. I think Jesus chose this parable to emphasize that if the lost is going to be found, it's going to take light. It's going to take light. And so knowing that Jesus is the light, and knowing that the lost are in darkness, I cannot help but think Jesus gave us this parable to emphasize the lost are only found by the light, who is Jesus Christ. A few years ago, I was in my study. I got a phone call. It was a lady that had backslidden from this church. I didn't know who it was at first. She was weeping so profusely, and her words were so mumbled by her grief and her pain. And finally, I could understand her. She was contemplating suicide. She was under a heavy cloud of depression. She said, "I'm just so depressed. I'm just so discouraged. There's no reason for living. There's no reason for going on." As I held the phone, I could almost feel that dark cloud coming over the phone line and just coming in the office there of the study. And I don't care if you've been to Bible school, seminary, been a Christian 50 years. There are times that there's a need and you're not sure just how to pray or what to say. You ever been there? And so I said, "Let's pray." And I knelt down there by my chair, thinking to myself, "God, how can I pray?" But all of a sudden, he began to give me words. And I wasn't repeating it because there was nothing else to say. I was repeating it because it was the only thing that should be said. And I began to pray, "Oh God, right now, let the light shine in her darkness. God, right now, let the light shine in her darkness. Oh Jesus, you are the light. Right now, shine in her darkness." I don't know how many times I repeated that, how long we prayed. She was weeping, but all of a sudden her words begin to change, and she began to call out on God, begin to pray, and all of a sudden you could tell that the light had shined in the darkness. She said, "God's come by. I felt his grace. I felt his presence. The discouragement is gone." I'm telling you, his light is that real. There is a real darkness, but thank God there is a light that can penetrate that darkness. I'm telling you, the Father sent the Son Jesus as a spotlight to shine into this dark world to find any lost soul that wants to be found. Amen. Jesus is the light. The Bible says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." The comprehend not doesn't mean it didn't understand. It means this: the light, Brother Heath, shined in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't hold it back. The darkness couldn't keep it from shining. Jesus said, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not walk in darkness." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." I'm telling you, there are things that are lost, but thank God the light has come to find them. Amen. What's going on? To find out what's going on, we got to revisit verse 1 and 2. "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes," the religious folks, the church folks, they murmured at that, saying, "This man, Jesus, he something's wrong with him. He receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Those Pharisees, the religious crowd, they're upset, they're consternated over the fact that not only did Jesus receive this bunch of sinners, he welcomed them, and he actually seemed pleased that they had come to him. He actually seemed to enjoy their fellowship. Now, that might have consternated the religious crowd, but Jesus recognized something. Jesus recognized that these sinners were in the shape they were in. These people sinned the way they sinned. These folks had the problems that they had because they were in the darkness, and the darkness was in them. He knew, he saw them different. He didn't just see them as a bunch of rebellious riffraff. Jesus saw them as people who were lost in the darkness. And these folks that were in darkness, Jesus could tell they could not find their own way out. They could not find their way to help. They could not find their way to hope and to healing because they were in darkness and needed a light. Now, Jesus recognized that about them. But I think this group of lost folks, folks. They recognized something about Jesus. These sinners and publicans, they were tired of the dark they lived in. They were tired of the dark in them. But when they saw Jesus, I believe they saw what the Pharisees didn't see. When they saw Jesus, they saw light in their darkness. Oh, hallelujah. If you were lost in the dark woods at night, pitch black darkness, don't tell me if you suddenly saw a flashlight in the distance. Don't tell me that wouldn't attract you and draw you. And these people were lost in darkness, and their whole world was dark, Brother Rose. But when the Nazarene came to town, suddenly they saw a light in their darkness, and it drew them to Jesus. Well, glory, can you say amen? Jesus had come a light to lead them out of darkness so they could be found and could find the truth. The Pharisees didn't understand it. Now that's what's going on. What is the earthly illustration? I read to you that a woman had 10 pieces of silver and she lost one. Now 10 pieces of silver, each one of those, each piece of silver was about a day's wage, a good day's wage at that time. But you see, it's more than just losing 10 days' wages, though that would be a big enough catastrophe in her life. It's bigger than that, because if I understand the culture and the history here, those 10 pieces of silver were connected together. They were a necklace of the time that served for a married woman, served the same purpose that a woman's wedding ring serves today. Now, I wonder how many of you ladies that are married have a wedding ring. Okay. Now, don't tell me if tomorrow you got up and you were going about maybe getting ready to wash dishes or cook, and you looked down and saw the stone had come out of your wedding ring. How many would just say, oh, I lost my stone. Well, let's go ahead and cook dinner. Breakfast, sorry. How many would just be totally unupset, if that's a word, that the stone was missing out of your wedding ring? How many would go ballistic? For her to lose one piece of silver was like losing the stone out of your wedding ring. It wasn't just its value, it's what it meant to her personally and in her wedding and in her married life. But you see, it's just not that. Every indication from this story is this is a woman that was very poor. And to lose just one of those pieces of silver was a drastic loss. If she couldn't find it, she didn't even have the money to replace it. What an awful loss. You know, there are two indications in this short story that this woman was poverty stricken. One of those is that the loss of just one piece of silver meant so much to her. I used to test my kids when they were small, the older ones. I would purposely drop pennies in the driveway and see if they'd pick them up. And then if they came to me and they were wanting a quarter, I'd say no if they hadn't. And they'd say, why? And I said, well, if a penny doesn't mean enough to you to pick it up, a quarter won't mean much to you either. That she just was upset about the loss of one. That bothered her. That means she's poor. But the real indication here, I know this was a daytime. You say, how do you know it? Because when she found it, she called her neighbors and brought them. At that time, you didn't wake your neighbors up for a little party at 2 a.m. Now folks stay up all hours of the night. I know that because when I get up in the morning, I can look on Facebook and they've posted at 3 a.m. How's that Bible reading going for you there? So it was the daytime, and yet being the daytime, she had to light a candle. And the reason for that is if you lived in poverty at that time, your house had no windows. And even in the daytime, it was pitch black, dark in there, and it had a dirt floor. And she wasn't just sweeping. We'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. It had a dirt floor, and it wasn't just straw. It was usually stronger twigs where you could actually drag it like a rake across the floor. So this was a woman stricken with poverty. She had to light a candle because her house had no window. But you see, the point of the parable is, it's not that the woman lost something of great value. It's that she saw what a value was in the thing that she lost, the missing coin. And so she lit that light with one purpose. I've got to find what I have lost. I must find that coin. Have you ever had to try to look for something in the dark? You didn't want to wake your spouse up, but you had to find. You end up making more noise that way, and you never can find it. If you're going to find something, it's going to take light. And she understood that. And she lit the candle, and she swept the floor. In other words, she made every effort to uncover, to locate, to find, to redeem that lost coin. And the thing I want to emphasize today is only the light in this parable found what was lost, and nothing has changed. I want to say it again, it may be redundant, but only the light can find the lost. Only the light can find the lost. Verse 9, and when she had found it, she called her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, I have found the piece which I lost. Her value of the coin was not just shown in how diligently she searched for it, but her value of the coin was shown in the exuberance of her rejoicing once she found it. Amen. The fact that we value the lost isn't just seen in whether or not we diligently seek for the salvation of the lost. Our value of the lost is seen in how we rejoice when someone that was lost get saved. I heard rejoicing around the altar last Sunday morning. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And you know how it is in the family. Somebody's been looking for something that's lost. How many's turned the house upside down looking for a lost library book? A lost DVD that is borrowed from the library. How many has had everything? Hallelujah. I don't know what the word to use. Chaos. Because one of the adults, mom or dad, lost the car keys. What about a contact lens? I don't know if I can repeat that. Someone said, what about a hearing aid? I'm serious. But how many knows what a relief it is to the one who lost it and everybody else when all of a sudden the shout goes out, I found it! I found it! I'm telling you, it ought to be that way in the house of God. Every time somebody gets saved, I found it! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Amen. What was Jesus driving at? In verse 10, he said, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. That doesn't mean the angels weren't rejoicing. It's just telling us in the place where angels live, there was rejoicing. In heaven, I believe. I believe it's the Father that rejoices. The Son rejoices. I believe the angels rejoice. I believe every saint that has made it to heaven rejoices every time a sinner is saved. What is Jesus driving at? He's saying, this is my mission. My mission is to find what is lost. And my motive for my mission is I value them more than the shepherd his sheep, more than this woman her coin. I seek the lost because I value them. I love them. I'm going to tell every sinner, amen, you may feel like no one cares, but there is a Savior who values you enough that he came looking, and he looked so far, he ended up on the cross. Amen. He's out to find what is lost. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you from this parable that all of heaven, knowing how much Jesus values the lost soul, all of heaven knowing how diligently he seeks for the lost, all of heaven breaks out in rejoicing every time Jesus finds another lost coin, another lost sheep, another lost soul. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And we the church join in every time someone gets saved. It may seem incidental, but Jesus tells us something really important here. I must cover. Jesus answers the question, how can we tell a sinner has truly been found? How can we tell that a sinner has truly allowed themselves to be found by the seeking shepherd? It's just a little incidental note, but it means all the world. He said there's more rejoicing in the presence of the angel over one sinner that repenteth. You know how you tell a soul has let Jesus find them? When they've repented. It's not just saying, I believe in Jesus. It's not just joining a church, shaking a preacher's hand. It's when you've repented. How do you know you've repented? It's not just to be sorry you've become addicted. It's not just sorry that you've hurt people. It's not just sorry for all the missed opportunities. It's just not sorry for not serving God. You repent when you're not only sorry for your sins, but you reject your sins. You forsake your sins, and you have a desire to live differently. That's how you tell somebody really has been found. Amen. You see, people are a little different than coins. I can promise you, think with me, when that woman lost that coin, amen, it stayed in the place it was lost in until she found it. Boy, that was deep. You may want to jot that down. What I'm telling you is she lost it right here, but as she's seeking that and getting close to finding it, that coin didn't sneak away from that corner and go hide in another corner. It was right. You see, this is how people are different. Jesus is seeking for people like the woman sought for the coin, but people can move away when he starts getting close. I've seen it happen. I've seen it in a church service. He's getting close to finding that coin. They see the light coming. And they move away so they won't be found. You know why thieves move away from the cop's light? They don't want to be caught. Someone said the reason some people can't find God is the same reason thieves can't find a policeman. And I'm telling you, some sinners don't want to be found. And he's seeking for them. But I do believe there's some that want to be found. Hallelujah. Oh, let him find you. Let him find you. Only by light and by the effort of reaching can the lost be found. You see, this lady, she not only lit a light, amen, she took a broom. She reached out, amen. But the Bible says, and Jesus is driving at, once that coin was found, it was a time for rejoicing. I want to ask us this morning, do we rejoice over what heaven rejoices about? Amen. The only way we're going to rejoice over what heaven rejoices about is if we value what heaven values. I'm not taking a cheap shot with what I'm about to say. But February 5th, if I got the date right, is going to be Super Bowl Sunday. Is that right? Go ahead, I'm not going to let you have it or anything. Is that right? There are going to be churches who will cancel Sunday night service and have a Super Bowl party. In fact, I heard him interview one pastor during a Super Bowl party at his church, and they were eating nachos and watching the game, and the pastor said, I believe if Jesus is on earth, he'd be right here with us eating nachos and cheering on a team. I want to ask you, do you think heaven cares who wins a Super Bowl? Do you think heaven cares that somebody might be in a Sunday night service and hear the gospel and be rescued from eternal hell? I think heaven cares. I'm ready to rejoice about what heaven rejoices. And the only way I do that is to value what heaven values. Oh, hallelujah. Last of all, what should we do? We've heard the parable. We know what Jesus is driving at. We know what was going on. What should we do? I know it's redundant, but I want to remind us, for I explore that one more time, only the light can penetrate the darkness. And the only light that can penetrate the darkness is Jesus Christ. So what should we do? Well, as believers, amen, I think there's some things that we need to remember. Every believer is to let the searching light of Jesus shine through him or her into the darkness. Did Jesus not say, I am the light of the world? But then he said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify. So every believer is to let the searching light of Jesus shine through him or her into the darkness. Secondly, I believe every believer has his own room to search. This woman, when she lost her coin, Brother Dale, she didn't, because she knew where she lost it, she didn't go start searching three blocks over where she had never been in that house. I believe every believer here, we go to different places, different workplaces. We live in different neighborhoods. We go to different schools. I believe every believer has their own room to search for the lost coin. Amen? And then I believe every believer can be a broom that reaches. You know, I save this till now, but you see, the purpose of that broom wasn't just that her house was dirty. It was to reach up under things and to move what was underneath. Have you ever seen your wife maybe take a yardstick and put a tube sock on it and get up under the refrigerator? It's fun to see what all comes out. Not in our house. Her husband has to move the refrigerator. Use a broom to reach up under the wardrobe and pull out what's there. The broom wasn't about cleaning, as I often thought in this story. The broom is about reaching. I want to tell you, when we leave this house today, we each become a broom that can reach the lost in our room. Amen. I remember Brother Branham saying one time, you know, there were some young preachers that could set the house afire. And we had one, you know. He came through. I mean, he set the house afire. Brother Branham got up and he gave the old adage. He said, I'll tell you what, them new brooms, they can sure sweep clean. But we old brooms, we know where the corners are. You ever seen an old broom got that little point on it? That little point can get in the corners. I think we need both. There are folks these young people can reach that old man like me can't. Those of us that are older, we know what needs to be said and we know how to reach. I just think we all ought to be brooms reaching for the lost. And what would I say to the unbelievers, whether here, you listen to this later, or on the internet? First of all, I just want to tell you the truth. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, you are in darkness. You may think you're enlightened by the knowledge of this world. You may think you know how life is and how it should be lived. But if you don't know Christ, whether you've come to terms with it or not, if you don't know Christ, you are living in darkness. But I also would like you to know that you are being sought for. I believe that. How many believes that every lost person, God is seeking for them? You know, I don't know why it keeps surfacing in these parables. I just keep hearing it. And it's simply this. If you're an unbeliever, you may not be seeking for God, but He's seeking for you. And then I'd like to say to an unbeliever, you need only to come to the light and let God's Spirit pull you out of darkness like that broom. If you'll come to the light, you shall be found. You shall be saved. You will have eternal life. I'd like to say to the church this morning, we must realize in our world, we are in a dark, dark time. There is darkness on every hand. And I believe as the darkness grows increasingly thicker and encroaches upon us and envelops our land, I believe more and more people are being lost in that darkness. You'd be surprised how many folks are still going to church, but they've already been overcome and they're already lost. And how do you know that? Look at their actions. Look at their choices. Look at their moods. They're already lost in the darkness. But not only are they lost in the darkness, there is darkness in them. Why the filth on television? Why ever seems like every time an actor or actress speaks, even Paul, why is there so much filth? Why is there so much convoluted stuff? Why is there so much twisted stuff? Why do those even in leadership not seem to know what decision to make? They seem to have no wisdom. They make the wrong. It's because this world is in darkness. This world is in, and we as a church, we recognize our need for a move of God and revival because we recognize how dark our world is. But remember one thing, the light has come into the world, has shined in the darkness, and the darkness cannot stop the light. The darkness can move away from the light, but the darkness can't stop it. We as a church, we must realize the lost are never found without light, and we the church are that light. I told you the main point's the main point. But not only do I see that Jesus chose a parable with light, but he chose a parable of a woman. Why? Because poetically, the church is feminine. Poetically, it is. We refer to the church as she. And I believe he used this as with a woman in it. We had a man shepherd, but now we have a woman searching for a coin. Why? Because I believe when Jesus ascended to heaven, he poured out his spirit upon the church so that his church could be the woman looking for the lost. He was the good shepherd seeking for the lost sheep. But the church, I said the church is this woman, amen, that has the same mission, has the same motive as Christ to find the lost. And she does it with light. And then again, I don't want to be too far afield. It just got a hold of me this time. We as the church, we must be the broom that is constantly reaching out to every dark corner. Some folks, you just need to get a hold of them and pull them out in the light. That lady used that old broom, Sister Rose, and she reached up under that chest of drawers and she pulled out a pile of things. Bobby pins and dust bunnies. And I mean, she pulled out, she went through it, got it in the light. She pulled it out where she could get it in the light. I believe we're the church. I believe God wants to use us to go out into the neighborhood, the school hallways. You say, Ken, I'm not going to take the time. You've heard me share snippets of it many times. But my senior year at a public school, God sent revival. And they started getting saved. Amen. That broom can go out. It can reach out at the workplace and pull men and women into the light. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Last of all, we as a church, we must maintain the right value and focus so the lost being saved is our greatest source of rejoicing. I'm thankful for a lot of things, but the thing that concerns me most is we must be a place where people find the Lord. Not just in our church meeting, but by the effect of our church out in this world. You've heard me say it many times, but if we go just a few services without somebody praying these altars for salvation, we need to be concerned. Because that is what we value. And that is what we rejoice over. Would you come, music? Hallelujah. I know the theme's the same, but the mission of Christ has never changed. Last week, Terry came and prayed. And when he stood up and began to rejoice, he said, he found me. And he found me. Are you glad he found you? Hallelujah. Let's just praise him all over the building. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Are you glad you've seen the light? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. May we need to start singing children's Sunday school songs again. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Amen. Won't let Satan put it out. Shine all over Dayton. Amen. Glory to God. I'm telling you, there's a lost world to be found, and He can so fill us with the light of God that when we leave this place, that light shines out. I'm telling you, the God of this world hath blinded their eyes. You say, can't they see they're making a mess of things? No, they can't see it. They're in darkness. Can't they see that they're ruining their life? No, they can't see it. They're in darkness. Can't they see they're going to be lost for eternity? No, they can't see it. They're in darkness. He's blinded their eyes. The prophet Isaiah said they grope in the dark like blind men. I'm telling you, we realize their plight and we say, oh, light of this world, shine through us into their darkness so they can be found. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to open these altars for everyone that'd like to come and pray. If you're here as you're an unbeliever, would you come this morning to say, I want to be found. I want to be found. If things are dark in your life, this morning you come and say, Lord, shine with your light. Maybe you're not lost, but maybe you've lost your joy. You've lost your peace. You've lost your assurance. Maybe you'd like to come and say, light, shine in my heart. I want my assurance back. I want my peace back. Amen. I want my joy back. Or maybe you're just here and you say, as a Christian, I want to be the light in my room. I want to be the broom in my neighborhood to seek out the lost. But I want to invite everyone that would you come and fill these altars this morning. Let's thank Him that He has shined light in our life. He has shined a light into our hearts. Hallelujah. Are you here? Do you need the light? Come right up. There's a place in this altar. If you feel lost, let Him find you. Let Him find you. Oh, yes.